Dear friends, if you were asked to summarize the Christian life down into one word or a phrase, what would that be? Some of us will immediately respond by saying, you know, the phrase or the word is love. To some of us, it might be God's grace. Some of us would say it's about forgiveness. Some would say it's about relationships. It's about friendship. Very interestingly, in the Gospels, you realize that Jesus was also asked the most important commandment. In response, Jesus said about relationship with God is the most important. He indicated that we are called to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. On the same note, Jesus also indicated that one's relationship with his fellow brothers and sisters is important. And so the safe assumption is that relationship is one of the core teachings of Christian living. Now, so far in the upper room discourse, we have learned that Jesus came to the disciples and said, "Do not be troubled," because he assured them of the coming and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the comforter that will come along in their lives. You know, in today's passage, in John chapter 15, we realize that even though Jesus knew that the disciples will abandon him and would also deny him for a period of time, nevertheless, he calls them his friends. If you read John chapter 15, verse 15, it says, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Now, Jesus says, I do not call you as servants because a servant has a legal relationship with his master. But Jesus says, I call you as a friend. It's about a loving relationship that he wants to have with the disciples and also with us. And this is what Jesus taught the disciples. He taught them about relationship. He taught them about friendship. And he wanted them to love one another the way that he loved each and every one of them. Today, I want to look at the theme called Friendship Abides. Friendship Abides from John chapter 15, the first 8 verses. Let's pray and ask God as we spend some time, as we draw strength from God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have access to your word. We pray that we want to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit, God, speaking to us as we look at your word. We pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to what you have for us today. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. You know, many of you would agree, as human beings, we crave for intimacy. We crave for relationship. We crave for friendship. Because that's a part of our DNA. That's how we have been created and how God has actually created us. Many of us would affirm that throughout your secondary or even your post-secondary education, you know, it was always interesting when you have a largest number of friends possible. Because the notion is, the more friends you have, you are seen as a cooler person, a more happier person, or maybe the most popular person. In today's world, many times you would heard these questions. People would come and ask, you know, how many Facebook friends do you have? How many Instagram followers do you have? Let's be honest. Like 1/3 of our social media friends, we have met them only once at an event or through a friend and would never connect with them again. As we grow in our ears, what happens? We recognize the importance of having friends. We want to have friends. We want to belong to a community which is authentic, genuine, and we want friends who would love, respect, and support us and be there for each and every moment of our life. We want a friend who's someone who cares and who's willing to go the extra mile for us. A friend who loves us. Dr. Howard Hendricks one day called his students, his seminary students aside, and he was talking to them about relationship, about friendship. And as they were graduating from the seminary, he told them, there are two things most that will influence your life, where you will be in 10 years out of this seminary. He said, the books that you read and the friends you make. And he added by saying, choose them both very wisely. Today, we live in a world where people love to have community. People love to experience love. People want to have friendship, genuine friendship. But we live in a world that is faced with loneliness. I was reading an article recently and I realized that in a certain country, the government has appointed someone, a minister, to tackle the issue of loneliness. And I came across another article in Canada, which says that in Canada, that one in five Canadians identify themselves as being lonely. And more Canadians are living alone. 28% of households, according to the recent numbers by Statistics Canada, says they are living alone. Why? What are the factors due to this loneliness? Because of the higher rates of divorce that's happening, the stronger dependence on technology, and the growing urbanization that's happening around us. When you look at the text, you know, Jesus gathers the disciples and teaches them a lesson which is also important for each and every one of us today. The lesson that Jesus taught to the disciples is very relevant today. He teaches them about love, about friendship. He explained ways by which he had shown love to his disciples and the way he treated them as his friends. And so by doing, Jesus is saying, you know, I want you to be connected with me, not to fall away, and also to show the same love that you have experienced to people who are longing for that kind of love. Today we want to look at the passage that was just read to us from John chapter 15. And Jesus is wanting us to have that friendship, and a friendship that abides. Firstly, in John chapter 15, Jesus is saying, become a friend of God. Become a friend of God. And every time I read this particular passage, I can't imagine. Because God, who created the heavens and the earth, an all-knowing God, calls me as a friend. And he's longing to have a relationship with us. Sometimes we even ask this question, is it possible for the Almighty God to consider us as his loving friends? Let's read a couple of verses. In verse 9 of chapter 15, you know, you tend to see the intensity of the intimate relationship that God wants to have with us, that Jesus is longing to have with us. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, or now abide in my love. You know, there are three verbs that Jesus is using here. He says, you know, as the Father has loved me, I love you. And he says, remain, or abide. You know, when you look at the Greek word, it's a very interesting word, because when you look at the tense of the word, it indicates completeness. In other words, it's a finished act. Jesus is saying that the Father's love for him is complete. It's lacking nothing. God has loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and his love is full and complete. And so Jesus says, as the Father loves me completely, lacking nothing, that's the way I love you. He says, you know, he sees the disciples and says, this is how I love you. It's 100%. My love lacks nothing. What a powerful God that we have, my friend, whose love is so complete, his love is so abounding in our lives. Who God, who loves us so much, and he indicates completeness in this text. And so in response, Jesus is saying, you know, that we need to be abiding in him. And how do we abide? And when you look at the text very carefully, you know, Jesus says, you need to remain, you know, you read, you know, you will see that word coming again and again, abide, remain, 10 times throughout John chapter 15, the first 10 verses. And if you look at the New Testament, it's around more than 122 times you will see the word, you know, abide in me or remain in me. So what is Jesus trying to say here? So Jesus is saying that union and companion with Jesus Christ is important, my friend. It is not just calling myself as a Christian, not just professing Jesus as the Savior of my life. The way Jesus is using the word here in the illustration that he uses, or the metaphor that he uses about the vine and the branches, is the communion that we need to have. We need to be completely in communion with him. Not only he's my Savior, but the Lord of my life. In other words, I depend on him. I go to him for everything in my life. And I long for him. Eugene Peterson, when he was in his commentary, right, he says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. And he says, keep a company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved you. So he says, watch what God has done. God has loved us, my friend. When you look at the scriptures, you see the love of God manifested, because that's the way Jesus is. He loves us so much. It's complete. The same text when you read, you know, as the Lord makes his home in us, right? There are moments that he wants to work in our lives, work in such a way that he needs to prune away all that is not good and that is not helpful in our relationship with him, that distorts growth in our life. Because God wants us to experience growth, growing in our relationship with him, and in our bearing fruits for the Lord Jesus Christ. The same note, when you look at the word very carefully, even in our pruning, the intimacy is law. It's not lost, my friend. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our difficulties, there are assumptions we, many of us think, you know, God has forgotten us. No, God prunes us. He works in our life, which can be difficult or even challenging for us. But our intimacy with God is never lost. He remains in us because he wants to have a good relationship with us that is helping us at the end of the day. Today, we need to ask this question. I make God as my highest priority? How is my relationship with Him? Am I remaining strong and firm and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Secondly, when you look at the text, you know, Jesus is not only inviting them, right, to have relationship with God, when where he says God's love is so complete, he says, be a true friend. Be a true friend. When you look at the verse 12, you realize it says, Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. You know, when you look at the word, the first impression or the first reaction would be, you know, that's not a problem, right? Many of us would say, you know, that's not a problem because I love my friends, I love my family. I don't have any trouble loving the people who are closest to me or the people who are dearest to me. That's not an issue. But as you spend some time looking at the word very carefully, you realize our second reaction might be totally different. Some of us will jump and say, oh, well, that's not impossible because, you know, I can't do that because there are some people in our lives that can't be loved, my friend. And we don't want to, you know, be in contact with them. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus described, you know, a new commandment. And he says, the command to love one another. And this is important, my friend. And in Matthew chapter 22, he says, all other commandments are based on this, on loving God and loving one another. There are numerous verses that speaks about, you know, about loving one another. Very interestingly, we read Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. You know, it describes the normal love of human beings today. And this is easy, right, for many. Because it says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Right? The verse also continues by saying, do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Most people will love people that love them. We tend to be friendly, right, to those who are friendly to us. You know, that's the way, because it's easy for us. But Jesus wants us to take a step further. He wants us to draw the circle much more wider, my friend, to include many more. The early church had a problem. The church of Corinth had a problem. Because they were saying, you know, I'm of Paul. And some said, I'm of Cephas and I'm of Apollos. Do we love one another? And God wants us to love one another. I came across a beautiful story about a young girl, great example of a girl, who held a doll very tightly in her loving hands and told the mother, you know, I love them and I love them, but they never love me back. She said, I love them. I love these dolls and I love them, but they never love me back. And then the mother, you know, was shocked. She said, why is that, you know, you love these dolls who doesn't look so good? Right? It's not, doesn't look good at all. And she replied by saying, if I didn't love them, who would? If I didn't love them, who would? You know, when we look at the story, I think we are reminded of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 13, Jesus says, greater love as no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You know, Jesus did not just say these words, my friend, but he lived a life. He gave his life, not only for the disciples, but for each and every one of us, for the entire world. Because love is a decision, my friend. It means every time you put another person's interest before your own, we are laying ourselves and our interests down for our friends. When you look at the word very carefully, realize selfishness and sacrifice cannot coexist. And so love one another is a command. And Jesus wants us to love one another. Jesus is a great example, my friend. Jesus' life was a great model. Right in Romans, Paul writes it in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. He says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were living a life just contrary to the plan of God. There were people who were totally against the Lord Jesus Christ, even till now. But Jesus demonstrated his love for each and every one of us, my friend. And he died on the cross for us. And again, when you look at passages of the scriptures, you realize, you know, God wants us to love one another. One of the interesting ways for us is to be part of a community, part of a small group, part of a fellowship, because they are helpful for us to not only be accountable to one another, but also to create opportunities for us to support one another, to care for one another, for people in that group. Share with their struggles and pain, and to show love for one another. Today we need to ask ourselves, my friend, how do we show our love to people in the church and also others beyond the walls of the church? Do we show our love through a kind word that means a lot to many? Do we show our love by a helping hand or even going for an extra mile for them? How do we show God's love? Let me conclude by sharing the last point. You know, Jesus says our relationship with the world, right? Having drawn his disciples into the circle of love, you know, about friendship, Jesus is now talking to them an area of conflict. Because when you read the word very carefully in verse 19, he says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. If you belong to the world will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. I have chosen you out of the world, and that's why the world hates you. You know, when you look at the word, you tend to see, you know, the world is hating me. And so how do I show love to this world? There's a difference between friendship with the world, right? Does not mean, you know, it is the same as friendship with non-Christians or people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. What is Jesus trying to teach us here? Two things I'd like to share with you. Firstly, you know, he says our life of separation. In other words, when we relate to the world, he says our life have been called by God. God has called us out of the world. So it's a life of separation. We have a call. God has called us and God has a plan for us. God wants to fulfill his plan and purposes in our life. And so we live a life which is totally different. We live a life aligned to the word of God. So it's a life of separation. that's why the world hates us. Why? Why does the world hate us, my friend? Because we do not identify with them. In other words, we do not identify with the lifestyle of the world or with the thing the world endorses, which is contrary to the word of God. Because we identify with Christ. And so the world doesn't want to come near to us. Or many do not know the message of the gospel. And so they hate the people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, when we look at the scriptures very carefully, as long as we are in the world, there will be opposition in different forms and kinds. But we have the promise of God that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the same God is also asking God, not only for a life of separation, but a life of expectation. You know, God expects us to be His witnesses. And that's why in John chapter 15, verse 27, He says, "And ye shall bear witness." You shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And today, you know, you and I, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We read His word. We go to Him in our prayers. We want to glorify Him. We know Him. We have tasted and we have experienced God's grace and goodness, you know, even God's favor in our life. And so the Lord says, you shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. As the disciples were with the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning, we have experienced Christ in our life. And so we are commissioned to be a witness for Him. It's a life of expectation. God expects us, my friend. God expects us to be His ambassadors for Him. Today, we live in a world that needs friendship. We live in a world that wants to see love. We live in a world that wants to have a relationship with a community. I was reading a story about an old woman who went to a church, and this is the way she expressed her loneliness, even though she was in a church. Can you imagine? She went to a church, but she was still alone. Let me read the way she writes, and these are the words she says. "I sit in the pew next to a warm body every week, but I feel no heat. I sit in the pew next to a warm body every week, but I feel no heat. I'm in the faith, but I draw no active love. I sing the hymns with those next to me, but I hear only my voice. When the service is finished, I leave as I came in, hungry for someone to tell me that I'm a person worth something to somebody." And she says, "Just a smile would do it, or perhaps some gesture, some sign that I am not a stranger." Dear friends, I think the statement of this woman tells us that everyone wants to be loved, wants to be liked, wants to be accepted. And many a times when someone is hit with a crisis, with a difficulty, they want someone to come along with them and to share their burden with them. There are people who are just looking for someone to confide their secrets or their difficulties. Jesus showed His love for this. And he calls us to do the same. I would encourage you, even challenge you, find specific ways that you can practice showing that love, that friendship to others this week. Draw closer to God. Build relationship with Him. Widen your circle where you can express love and concern. Live a life of witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God has called us. I want to pray for all of us, right, including myself, that we will be a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, O God. We pray as your word has reminded us, Father. We want to be a great witness for you. We want to be an ambassador for you, O God. We thank you, Lord, because you have called us as friends. Lord, we pray that we will be friends to people who do not know you. That the love of Christ, Lord, will be shown through us. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen.